Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Today is certainly no exception. Today we're joined by Mr. Tim Lee. Tim is the Director of Philanthropy for the American Cancer Society based in Los Angeles. He's worked in the nonprofit and philanthropy spaces for nearly a decade, helping to raise millions of dollars for local and national nonprofits, including the Los Angeles LGBT Center, the San Francisco AIDS Foundation, and of course, the American Cancer Society. Tim is a native of California whose passion for cycling led him to the AIDS Life Cycle, which is a 7-day charity cycling event starting in San Francisco and ending in Los Angeles, which raises millions of dollars annually to help end AIDS. Tim has completed the AIDS Life Cycle 4 times, and he shares that he looks forward to a post-COVID world where he can complete that journey again. So, Tim, welcome to you today.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was very excited to meet you. We have a mutual friend. That's kind of how we connected. And we were chatting a couple of weeks back. And when you were sharing your story, I was thinking to myself, my goodness, I was excited to talk to you because of what you do. But then when you were sharing with me kind of how you got here, it really excited me to kind of help share your story with the world. So why don't you share with our viewers, if you wouldn't mind, kind of your background relative to kind of how you got to the American Cancer Society?
Sure. Thank you so much for the intro and everything. And you're right. You'll hear cycling is a theme in obviously how we got connected through our mutual friend and just sort of my story and how I got to where I am now. So back in 2011, Christmas time, I met with a friend for coffee because I saw on Facebook that he had just completed this really awesome cycling event, which is the AIDS Life Cycle. And I didn't really know anything about it. I haven't heard about it. You know, it looked really fun, but also it's 7 days. It looks kind of challenging. So we met for coffee and we were just talking about it. And he was just so passionate about it and sharing his experience and how he met amazing people. And I was like, that sounds fantastic. Like, I'd love to do something like that. You know, cut to 5 minutes later, I go to the bathroom, I come back and he signed me up for this ride. And I'm like, okay, so I guess I'm doing this.
What a great friend you had there.
Seriously, I was like, am I excited about this? Am I terrified? Am I mad at you? So it was kind of the beginning point of me starting my journey. So I ended up, you know, training with him and some other people who had signed up for the ride all back when I was living in Seattle. And, you know, we had about 6 months to train. The first few rides I did, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a little bit more challenging than I thought. Just, you know, getting back on a bike, you know, and a road bike and, you know, living in Seattle, you have to train in the rain and, you know, fight through the weather. So, you know, we had a really solid group of guys that really helped push each other to train for this event. And, you know, then we did it. And, you know, at the time I wasn't really thinking much about the charity component or the philanthropy component. I was thinking more of just like, can I do this? But I learned in my fundraising, you know, that people wanted to give back to, you know, great organizations. And I was actually able to raise $7,000 the first year of doing it. The minimum is $3,000 to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is like really cool. And it was just a great way to connect with people who maybe I hadn't heard from in a while and share what I'm doing and all that. So we do the event and then, you know, in June, and then I had kept in contact with some of the people post-event who work for the organizations and the beneficiaries of the ride. And I saw, you know, when I was back in Seattle, home from the event, still, you know, high on the experience, I saw some friends who I connected with on the ride who work at the organizations, San Francisco, Los Angeles LGBT Center. I, you know, saw that there was some jobs open for working specifically on the ride. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And at the time I was working at Microsoft in Seattle. Yeah. And, you know, it was great and all that. But I was like, you know what, it seems really exciting and something, you know, that I may love doing and I really love the event and all that. So I applied and they flew me down and I interviewed. And basically 2.5 months after I completed the ride, I was living and working in Los Angeles for the ride. And that really was the, as I said, kind of the starting point for my, you know, philanthropy career. Mm-hmm. I first worked at AIDS Lifecycle working with cyclists and essentially helping them, all from signing up to fundraising to completing a ride and everything they need in between. And I worked with, you know, 300 plus cyclists doing that, and worked on the ride a few times for a few years doing that. And then I moved up into the major gifts team at the center, which the AIDS Lifecycle has offices both at the LGBT Center and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. So I was working through the Los Angeles LGBT Center. So that was kind of the starting point of getting into philanthropy and sort of learning the ropes of what major gifts looks like and just what is philanthropy and what is charity and all that. So, you know, worked there for 5 years, moved on, did some consulting here and there. And then a few years ago, I moved to the American Cancer Society as the director of philanthropy and have been here now for just over 2 years. So it's been a really great experience, and have met amazing, passionate people who, you know, have such a desire to give back. So it's been really fun.
I think that's just absolutely amazing. It, you know, you shared your story when we were talking earlier. One of the things I totally wanted to talk to you about was just the whole mindset around moving from Seattle to LA, and you were working for Microsoft and right. We're doing philanthropy. And so many of my guests, you know, we focus on mindset and happiness and overcoming yeah. challenges and so forth. And so what was that decision like for you? Because that's a really big career shift. And so many people are just afraid to make that leap. And so how did you end up making the leap off the diving board inside yourself?
Right. It, you know, going back a decade now, it's like, I think, you know, I was so high off of the experience and, you know, all the amazing people that I met, and not that, you know, working at Microsoft wasn't, you know, fulfilling and all that, but you know, sometimes in life things happen and you find a different path, or, you know, you find something that's more of a passion or that mm-hmm. Brings you joy. Yeah. And that's really kind of what led me to the decision. You know, it was something that I loved. It was something where I got to meet amazing people and all, you know, give back and, you know, support amazing organizations. And I think, you know, it was just kind of a combination of all of that. There wasn't like one pivotal moment where I was like, mm-hmm. I'm moving. It was just, you know, it was a realization that mm-hmm. I found joy and that I wanted to follow that.
Absolutely. So it almost sounds as if you found what was a greater level of calling to do sure. something different. And in that fortitude, you were like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this because this feels
yeah. right. Yeah, definitely. That's for fair. Sure. Yeah, and it was great to see all the other people too, because, you know, it's not just that people were coming from like the West Coast to do this mm-hmm. ride. Like people were coming from all over the US and all over the world to do this ride. And it was really unique because, you know, when you're training and you're going through all that, you know, you're sort of only thinking about yourself and your team and just kind of like, you know, getting to the point where I can cross the finish line at the end of the 7 days. And you realize that when you get there and you meet all these amazing people, they're coming from all over and everyone's coming together for one common goal. And it was such a unique, really inspiring experience that I think just helped make the decision a little bit easier for me.
That's fantastic. So you yeah. ended up in Los Angeles, you were working for AIDS Lifecycle, working with the LGBT Center, et cetera, and then yeah. transitioned the American Cancer Society. And so Let's talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to assume everybody has heard of the American Cancer Society. And yep. But one of the things I said to you, I said, you know, share with me and now share with our audience, what does actually the American Cancer Society do?
Sure. So sort of the mission of the society is to save lives, celebrate lives, and lead the fight for a world without cancer. So everything we do is basically trying to attack cancer from every angle. Mm-hmm. People may know the American Cancer Society more specifically around all of the research that we fund. Mm-hmm. So we do that, but we also have a lot of like programmatic work. So we have Reached Recovery program where we connect breast cancer survivors with people who are currently going through breast cancer as a way to connect them and be a support system for them. Mm-hmm. We have Road to Recovery program, which we have volunteer drivers who drive patients to and from their treatment. We have a 24/7 helpline where licensed professionals, you know, help answer any and every question pertaining mm-hmm. to, you know, their needs and what they're going through. You know, cancer.org has so much information about anything and everything that you would need. And we do so much more than that, but that just sort of gives you an idea. It's a combination of research and a lot of investment that goes into that, mm-hmm. As well as programmatic work. And then we also sort of have this other side that's the ACS CAN, which is the Cancer Action Network, which is essentially our policy advocacy group that, you know, lobbies in Washington as well. So we kind of have a combination of a lot of different things, but sort of back to what I said earlier, we try to do everything to attack cancer from every angle.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, it's just, yeah. there's so much that goes into the support for research and support for the patient, yeah. support for, you know, all the, frankly, let's, if I may be so bold, call it collateral damage, the friends, the family members, yeah. you know, my mother's a cancer survivor. I have siblings who are cancer survivors. I, you know, most of my family, unfortunately, were victims of cancer. And so it's not an unknown entity in my own life.
Right.
And in fact, yeah. one of my prior guests we were talking about before was Sean Swarner, who's a cancer yeah. survivor and climbed Mount Everest with one lung.
Right.
Amazing. And so when we think about philanthropy for yourself and for others, I want to talk about you first. And so talk to us a little bit. I mean, you are engaged full time in philanthropy.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you sit back and you kind of look yourself in the mirror and you think about what it is you do, what has philanthropy brought to Tim Lee's life as a person?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, we sort of said it before, but, you know, I was sort of on a career path and working at Microsoft, and it essentially, you know, philanthropy sort of changed my career trajectory and, you know, brought me on a different path towards something sort of, as you said, kind of like a higher calling, mm-hmm. if you want to put it that way. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's something that, you know, I wasn't necessarily seeking out or, mm-hmm. you know, anything. I sort of happened into it and, you know, I kind of just followed that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now in my work and what I'm able to do, I get to connect with people who also share those same passions and who are able to, you know, support our organization or, you know, volunteer or, you know, what have you. So, you know, it really sort of very simply just sort of changed my career trajectory. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the biggest impact that it had on me and in so far, you know, in my life.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. Really kind of, you know, it giving you that deeper sense of meaning that is that basically your North Star in a way.
Yeah.
To describe it a different way. You know, you have interacted and do interact with quite a number of people, some major gift givers, minor gift givers, not that we want to categorize because any amount helps.
Right.
What have you observed about people who really give? And when I say give, Tim, I really, I'm not necessarily talking financial giving, because to me, giving is time and or money, right?
Yeah, volunteering as well.
Yeah, totally. So what are some of the things you've noticed about people who give in terms of, you know, what they look to and what they've kind of gotten out of it for themselves? What are some observations you've made over the years?
So, you know, people give to organizations that they're obviously passionate about or that there's some kind of a direct connection to, typically. Sometimes, you know, especially people who have, you know, bigger means may give to just organizations that they know will do good. Sure. But I think for me, you know, sort of going back to how I got to ACS too, I mean, a big reason why not only ACS chose me, but I chose ACS as a career was because I had a connection to the cause. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunate or unfortunate, obviously, as we know, and with you and your family and me, mm-hmm. with my grandmother passing away in 2005 from breast cancer and many other family and friends being affected, you know, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, people who have the means to give or the time to give because they're passionate about the cause and because they want to see change and they want to be a part of that change, mm-hmm. in a really positive way. And so, you know, I'm, you know, really grateful to be able to work daily with donors, volunteers, other staff members who I get to connect with, and they get to share with me their stories, and I get to share, you know, my story, and we really get to partner together. To, you know, for them maybe to, you know, give a gift in honor of somebody that passed, or a memorial gift, or give because they know we do really great work, or because I'm able to express a need for, you know, research funding or something that I know they're passionate about based off of a two-way conversation. And they get to learn more about what we're doing, and I get to help them do something good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, each individual person and each individual conversation is really unique because, you know, unfortunately, there's so many different types of cancer, so many different ways that people can be affected. But for folks to be able to do something about that, and for me to be able to help them with that is fantastic.
I think that's awesome. And something you said kind of struck me. You were talking about the way people connect and the various, not just the way, but the various means in which people to connect, whether it's the research or other elements of philanthropy. And it, you know, if you think about it in so many ways, that's kind of how we function as human beings in terms of how we engage with anything. We have to end up connecting with something for something to have meaning, for then us to drive the value of that to then kind of move forward. And so it just kind of struck me. I find it kind of fascinating because if you think about it, it's no different than life. Right.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and sometimes it takes that, you know, really challenging or disrupting thing in your life to become passionate about a cause or, you know, or a specific charity and get into philanthropy. But, you know, we have a choice to be able to do that or not do that. And so I'm really grateful to be able to work with people who make that choice because, you know, there are lots of people who can give, who, you know, who do or don't. And, you know, I'm really lucky to work with some fantastic, you know, individual donors. Mm-hmm. I also work with foundations and oftentimes some really great corporate donors as well. So it's really rewarding.
I think that's fantastic. You know, one of my mentors once said, you know, people will end up doing things when the pain is great enough. And I've come to think of pain as, you know, something that isn't necessarily painful in the traditional sense, but something that may be painful in the traditional sense, or maybe just so impactful within our psychology that we're like, I really need to do something about this or do something for this, because if I don't, I'm going to feel that, you know, I missed out or I should have, not to should on ourselves, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite phrases. You know, as we record this about 4 weeks prior to its release, you know, we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the COVID pandemic relative to vaccines being released and so forth. And so, you know, so many organizations had such a difficult time during COVID. And I'm just kind of curious, What did you and the American Cancer Society experience during the COVID times, and what are you seeing today?
Yeah, great question, and a challenging one at that. Much like many other organizations, corporations, you know, it affected everyone, you know, in one way or another. And for us, you know, we had, you know, layoffs to the organization. There's no easy way to say it, right? Like, we had, you know, a lot of income that was coming in the door through events. Could events happen in a traditional way in a COVID world? No, they couldn't. And so we really had to be strategic in the way that we pivoted, and how we, you know, sort of changed up our engagement with donors as well. And, you know, how do we sort of stay afloat in a world where lots of our revenue is coming in through these streams that no longer can exist in the form that they currently exist in? And so, you know, for me, working not really in the event space, I sort of partner with our event teams often, but, you know, my specific role didn't change much. But, you know, the organizational level, I mean, you know, almost half our employees, you know, had to go, you know, and, you know, and it's super unfortunate, and it's really challenging. And my hope is that we get to a point to, you know, where we can have those, you know, events again, and people can feel safe and comfortable. And, you know, because I think those are really great opportunities to build relationships and, you know, meet, you know, new folks and meet donors and have that really great engagement. But yeah, I mean, it was challenging. I will say, you know, fortunately, we really did, much like many other nonprofits, there was a big surge in online giving, peer-to-peer, you know, giving through certain kind of smaller individual events, things like that, that were going on. But yeah, it totally changed sort of the trajectory of the organization a little bit, not necessarily our core programmatic work. Some of that, like I said before, like our Road to Recovery program that's specifically around volunteer drivers driving cancer patients to and from treatment, that just can't exist, right? Like with COVID and everything and being around people who are immunocompromised and all that, like that can't happen. So, you know, it was a challenge for our organization, but I also think too, like it's a challenge for those patients that need to get to their treatment. Like cancer doesn't take a back seat, much like any other disease or cause, just because COVID is here. Like it provides, you know, opportunity to, you know, find new and interesting ways to do things, but it also is a challenge. Yeah. So, you know, it was really interesting in trying to navigate, you know, what our organization looks like, what our programs look like, when we can bring events back, all of those things. And, you know, it's almost like we're building the boat as we're going down the river a little bit sometimes, you know. I'm sure you've heard that from many people. It's like, it's sort of uncharted waters, like, you know, for many organizations. But, you know, the best thing that I can do is be, you know, build and cultivate and steward our donors and be, you know, build those great relationships with them and be good stewards of their dollars and, you know, continuously remind them, you know, the impact that they're having and continuously update them on like what's happening at our organization so they know. Absolutely. So yeah, it's definitely been a challenge, but it's also one where everyone's learning a lot through the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And even just the patient experience, you know, you said, I'm paraphrasing, cancer doesn't take a break. And, you know, just the reality that we have all lived through. I mean, I had a freak accident in May and landed in the ER for half of a day and I had to go in alone. And I just never thought of that before. Like what? I mean, thank goodness I'm a healthy male. And I just never thought of that. And just the ramifications of this with people fighting cancer and or any other diseases that are hospitalized, and everything changed in it, and it can become a really lonely experience. Yeah. So it's great to have organizations like yours that are helping to support people and you know, not only in their treatment process, but just in general.
So. Yeah. And that's why I'm really lucky that we, you know, often times and, you know, in ways that we were able to like strategize and change things, like, you know, we tried to do a lot of virtual stuff, and thankfully things like what you were talking about, providing support to folks who are going through this, like that stuff can be done virtually. And we're so grateful that we have amazing volunteers donors that support those programs, like our Reach to Recovery program, like I said before, like, you know, people are alone and scared and whatnot during this time. I mean, it's so challenging for everyone. So fortunately, we were able to continue some of our programs, and hopefully sooner rather than later, we'll be able to bring some of them back. So
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about philanthropy. We talked all about your own background. And so I'd be curious if you know, I were somebody that met you and I said, you know, I love seeing what you're doing. It's so cool, the position that you have. What would you say to somebody that's looking to get involved that maybe not have a lot of direction? Like, what advice would you give to somebody that wants to get involved in the area of helping to raise money or volunteer? What would you say to that person?
Sure. I mean, think about the causes or the people that you care about, and think about, you know, what kind of an impact you want to make. And as, you know, we've said before, and, you know, you specifically said, like, you know, people can give money, but also time is really important too. And so, you know, if you can become a donor, even a few dollars a month to a cause that you care about, if you can volunteer some time, and volunteering obviously looks a little bit different these days than the normal, but there are ways to do that. And just find causes that you care about, find people that you care about, and just, you know, reach out to other people, see what their experience was, and see why they give, or, you know, why they're charitable, or what, you know, causes they really enjoy or that they've given back to. You know, I think that's the main thing, like, find what gives you joy, like, just sort of in general, and follow that.
Yeah.
Because that can lead you down some really amazing paths that can change your career trajectory, like it did for me. Or it can just get you involved with a cause, or get you, you know, building relationships with people that you never would have before.
Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. I love that. I'm going to quote you on that. Find your joy. I think that's fantastic.
Find your joy and follow it.
Yeah. Find your joy and follow it. I think we need to make t-shirts about that. What do you think? So that kind of leads me, I think, to maybe a really, really appropriate last question for you.
Sure.
Which is, we've been talking about philanthropy. We talked about your career and how you moved. And, you know, when you talk about following your heart, following your joy, what would you say to somebody, maybe even somebody in the LGBT plus community that kind of feels stuck and they kind of don't know which direction to go and don't know how to maybe follow their joy? What if it's somebody who followed their heart from San Diego to LA, what would you say to somebody?
You know, I would say, look back in life and find the times where you were most happy, and what were you doing? Who were you talking to? What were you engaged with? Like for me, I find happiness and joy when I'm outside and I'm riding my bike, like I did earlier this morning before work, got to get those miles in. But you know, like, take chances, right? Like, I didn't know that, like, I'd end up, you know, years later, after having a great career at Microsoft, then at the center, then moving to ACS, that I'd be exactly where I'm at today. I took a chance. And, you know, I followed sort of my heart a little bit. I, based off of, you know, my minimal experience with AIDS lifecycle at the time, I just sort of, I took a bit of a leap. And, you know, it's sort of easier maybe when you're younger to do things, but I think at any age, just, you know, if something makes you happy, if something brings you joy, you know, investigate that, go after that, however small or large that is. And, you know, if you're stuck in those times, then reach out to people who maybe have gone through that, or, you know, have, you know, made a drastic change, or have connected with some really fantastic people who've brought them joy, or volunteer for a charity, or what have you. You know, just take a bit of a leap, and, you know, and go out and, you know, investigate that, because everybody, you know, at certain points in their life has that little, you know, thing that's telling them to do that. But, you know, you got to take the leap a little bit with that.
Absolutely. I love that. Take the leap. And I also love to say, you know, the magic three-letter word is ask. because the worst thing anyone can ever say is no. So
right.
Why not ask, right?
Yeah. And people want to share, right? Yeah. Like that's like when I reach out to donors and, you know, my big thing is like, I obviously thank them, but I want to know about them. I want to know what they care about, yeah. what their story is, all that, because building relationships is really important and you never know in life where that can get you.
Absolutely. This conversation is exemplary of that, right?
Exactly.
I asked you a question. You were so kind to donate some of your time this early evening here to share with the world your journey and the lessons that you learned as you, shall we say, rode that journey. Haha. And yeah. I just want to, I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. but I do. I want to sincerely thank you for your time and sharing your story. And we're going to go ahead. We're going to post all of the various links below so yep. you can get more information on American Cancer Society, the LGBT Center, the AIDS Life Cycle, et cetera. So, you know, as we conclude, as always, please, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click notifications so you don't miss out on these extraordinary people like Mr. Tim Lee. And last but not least, as I always say, remember, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.